What's happening, Wisconsin? All right, before I do any kind of introductions, I think we have some friends here who want to start us off with a song. So without further ado, the Solidarity Sing-Along. Solidarity Sing-Along, the world record-setting Solidarity Sing-Along. So how is everybody today? All right, my name is Scott Ross. I'm the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. We're a statewide progressive advocacy organization, and I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the organizations who have come here today to stand with Wisconsin women, including 9 to 5, the National Association of Working Women, NARAL, Pro-Choice Wisconsin, Planned Parenthood, Advocates of Wisconsin, Protect Your Care, the Reproductive Justice Coalition, the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, the Wisconsin National Organization for Women, Wisconsin People for the American Way, the Women's Medical Fund, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, the Wisconsin Women's Network, and certainly some who I have failed to list today. We thank you all for being here today. Now we come here today, women and men, standing in solidarity against the attacks by Governor Walker and his legislative lapdogs against the women of Wisconsin. And together, we stand with Wisconsin women. Now Governor Walker and the Republican legislature have attacked the rights of women in Wisconsin to seek redress when they have been denied equal pay for doing the same job done by a man.
Governor Walker and the Republican legislature have attacked the rights of women to collectively bargain for wages and workplace safety. Governor Walker and the Republican legislature have attacked the right of our young people to get medically accurate, age-appropriate, comprehensive sex education. And most assuredly, Governor Walker and the Republican legislature have attacked the rights of women to get safe and legal health care and to get those health care options without a politician sitting in the doctor's office. And this is why women and men, girls and boys, people of all ages have descended upon the state capitol here today to say in a unified and unmistakable voice, we stand with Wisconsin women. Now we have a nice speaking program here today, and so I'm going to introduce our first speaker. Christina Nalen is a Planned Parenthood supporter, volunteer, and patient from Madison. She recently graduated from the University of Wisconsin with a BA in sociology and works as a birth doula and a veterinarian assistant. Ladies and gentlemen, Christina Nalen.
How about the damn sunshine? My name's Christina. I stand with Planned Parenthood because they've always been there for me, no matter what. After working my way through college for the past 9 years, managing my health in addition to juggling full-time classes, work, and my own life, I took comfort in knowing that whatever life threw my way, I'd have help at Planned Parenthood. 1 in 5 women rely on Planned Parenthood for access to cervical and breast cancer screenings, birth control, health exams, STI testing and treatment, and community referrals and abortion care. I am 1 in 5. In 2009, I found myself dropped from the university, in other words, kicked out. Unemployed, living up here in Madison by myself with my family in Milwaukee, and pregnant. I learned that the love of my life at the time, who also happened to be abusive, did not want children with me, and so I made a reproductive choice of my own. I had an abortion with Planned Parenthood's assistance. It was safe, Planned Parenthood was reliable, visible, and there for me. Thank you. Thanks to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, I will no longer pay co-pays for my birth control. As a woman, I will no longer be charged simply for being a woman and attempting to control my reproductive life. I am still afraid. I am afraid that after these 9 years of accumulating debt just for my bachelor's, graduating this year with $83,000 in debt before interest, that I will be able to manage my own health care and make my loan repayments. This past year, as many of you know, Planned Parenthood was forced to close at least 4 rural family planning health centers due to Walker's cuts. An additional 100,000 Wisconsin women will lose access to Badger Care due to the governor refusing federal funds for Wisconsin's assistance.
Shame, shame, shame!
I still find comfort in knowing that Planned Parenthood will be there for me no matter what. Access to health care and Planned Parenthood is important, although Governor Walker and the legislature don't seem to feel it is a priority. Healthcare is a priority for me, as I'm sure it is to everyone here. So I ask that the legislature start putting forth policy that reflects Wisconsin's values by accepting this federal money to expand Badger Care and restore funding to Planned Parenthood. I am 1 in 5. I stand with Wisconsin women. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey, can you guys do me a favor? I want to take a picture. Can I see a rowdy crowd? Very rowdy. Thank you again, Christina. Our next speaker is Dana Schultz. Now, Dana is the state director of 9 to 5 Wisconsin. And 9 to 5, they've been winning justice for working women for 40 years around this great nation. In Wisconsin, they led coalitions to win enforcement, they've led coalitions to win the nation's second family and medical leave law, earn sick days in Milwaukee, and equal pay enforcement. Now, 9 to 5 is where the labor movement meets the women's movement, and it is growing across Wisconsin, from Wausau to Milwaukee to Two Rivers. We need an economic agenda for women and families, and 9 to 5 is leading the way. Without further ado, Dana Schultz.
All right. You know, I stood up here a couple years ago when some tractors were running around this Capitol. And they were saying, you know, workers' rights and women's rights and a fair budget is an agenda that we want to cross the state. And I'm looking out at this crowd, and I don't see women's and women's issue as niche or special. But it is the agenda that we need for this state. In our new economy, we need an agenda that works for women and families now more than ever. Yeah. And we have a rich history in doing this. 25 years ago, it was a coalition of women and families and a bunch of children that marched into the state capitol and told Tommy Thompson, when my mom, an eight-year-old who had leukemia said, when my mom was able to take off of work and be there alongside my bed manner when I was getting leukemia shots, that's family values. It was a woman who had a heart attack and came back and said, when my daughter was there to be with me along my bedside matter and not lose her job, that's family values. And it was a survivor of domestic violence who said, when I was able to relocate and keep my job and protect my family, that is family values. So for 25 years, Wisconsin's Family Medical Leave Act has protected the jobs to leave to care for an ill family member and a newborn. But big business lobbyists, like the WMC downtown, right around here, they have the audacity to come and say, we don't need our Wisconsin's Family Medical Leave Act. They're trying to go after everything that they already haven't gotten. And that's the next on their list. But you know what? Our family leave isn't good enough. It doesn't protect enough workers, and it's unpaid. So what we need, what do we need? We can do better. So we want to build upon Wisconsin's Family Medical Leave Act, and we want family leave insurance, a paid leave now. Let me hear it. Paid leave now. Paid leave now. Paid leave now. That's right. So what we're going to do after this important rally is we're going to take a bunch of strollers with some newborns in them, some empty, because we're going to race down to the WMC, and we're going to say, we're not going to be a part of your race to the bottom for women and families in this economic agenda. And we're delivering over 1,200 petitions, but I need some more. If you haven't signed the petition to expand family medical leave, please do. There's one volunteer who's signing. We got a few circulating. But you know, it was my family farm. When we lost our family's farm and it was, my dad no longer worked, it was my mom's paycheck that kept our family going. And we know that in Wisconsin, 2/3 of women are the breadwinners or the co-breadwinners for our economy. And we need to say, we need that paycheck matters more than ever. And the caregiving matters more than ever. And having to choose between the job that you need and the family that you love is a bad equation for Wisconsin. And we can do better. I'm happy to be standing along some elected champions here saying that Wisconsin can be proactive in our policies and we don't have to just be defensive and running from these folks here that are trying to have a stranglehold on Wisconsin's economic future. So we're gonna push for family leave insurance. You watch out for it. It's gonna be a mom partisan. So bipartisan, mom partisan. We're gonna do it in Wisconsin. And I wanna leave you with the top 10, you know, a lot of people around come election time. We're gonna get another election here in 2014. And there's gonna be a lot of candidates that are gonna start pandering to women like they just popped up out of nowhere. And I actually have the top 10 do's and don'ts for how to actually win women and families' votes. Are y'all ready for this?
All right.
Number one, don't do monologues about my vagina.
Yeah.
Do trust my ability to make decisions about my reproductive health. Woo. Number two, don't tell me how much you love your mother. Do let me be a good mother by supporting my right to earn paid sick days. I like this one. Don't spout off about family values. Do value families by supporting measures to make family leave accessible and affordable. Number four, don't tell me how smart women are. Do fight for us to be paid equally. Don't, number five, don't pop up on Labor Day, which is coming up, and say how important workers are. Do support the right to unionize and oppose attacks on teachers and public workers and nurses and all working women who've gotten to the middle class because they have a voice in the workplace. Number six, don't advertise marriage as a way to get out of poverty, because two broke lovebirds don't pay the bills. Do support the right for same-sex couples to marry and care for one another. Number seven, don't privatize Medicare and Social Security. Do support caregiver credits to honor time spent on caregiving. Valuable job. Number eight, don't further demonize families who are working and need food stamps. But do make work pay by increasing the minimum wage and tip minimum wage. Number nine, don't wax nostalgia for the past. Do champion Title IX, Title VIII, civil rights, and voting rights act in the ADA. Move it forward. And the last one, number 10, do's and don'ts of how to win women's votes in 2014 in any election. I hope you're taking notes. Don't think of the economy, climate change, immigration, taxes, and war as a guy thing. But do talk to women about your plans to create good economy-boosting jobs and fair share taxation. It is time to do better. It's time for jobs that boost families and boost our economies, and women are central to that. So 9to5, check us out on Facebook, on the website. Join our stroller race to the bottom, to WMC, to say, keep your hands off family medical leave and work with us to expand it, because Wisconsin can do better. Thank you.
One more round for Dana Schultz from 9to5. Now, we obviously have a bright array of luminaries in the Republican-controlled legislature passing these anti-women pieces of legislation. I think we can all agree with that. And one of them, I want to just note today, Andre Jacques. During a debate about state employees being denied access to birth control in their health care plans, Andre Jacques said, quote, "Certainly there are places that offer free birth control. You see them on TV late at night. Now, I don't want to give you the secrets of how one gets a physique like this, but a lot of watching late night TV is involved in it. And I can tell you, I've never seen free birth control advertised on late night TV. I have seen advertisements for pills with names like Extends. And I guess that shows you how important it is that we get medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education back in our public schools, because our state legislatures think that male enhancement is a form of birth control. Before our next speaker, she really needs no introduction, but I feel compelled, because how often do I get to stand and talk before a bunch of people? Peg Lautenschlager. Now, when it comes to protecting the rights of women, Peg has done it all. She served as a member of the State Assembly for 4 years. She was Wisconsin's U.S. Attorney for 8 years. And she served 4 years as our Attorney General, protecting the rights of women at every step of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause for Peg Lautenschlager.
Hello, strong Wisconsin women. And hello to the strong Wisconsin men standing next to you. And greetings to folks in the legislature where I have served, and I know those fights that go on, and to tell you how much respect I have for each and every one of you as legislators to put up with the malarkey, I think our vice president calls it, that goes on there, and the false information and everything else. It is an incredibly difficult job, and I thank each and every one of you for all you have done in this last legislative session to stand up and speak truth to power. My little conversation with you today is supposed to focus on the assault on women when it comes to equal pay for equal work. And that issue is fundamental to who we are as women, because in the reality of this world today, it is economic power that becomes so important. And when we are denied basic economic power by being paid less for the same work, we are being denied our rights as citizens. And this isn't just a women's issue. This is a family issue. This is a children's issue. It is a community issue, and it is our state's issue. And we have gone from being on the right side of history in terms of progress when it comes to women's rights, moving forward to ensure that people are treated equally regardless of gender. And yet, at the same time, we have seen an assault on all that progress we have made in Wisconsin during this administration of Governor Walker. The reality is that women only make 77 cents on a dollar that's earned by men for like jobs. 77 cents on the dollar. Recently, they've done studies of college graduates, young women who have spent 4 years probably accumulating debt, as we've heard, and want to find a role in the workplace. And these young college graduates who sat side by side with men in our colleges and universities are being paid only 82 cents on the dollar. This is wrong. It is wrong for us as women to be doing the same work as men and yet getting paid as much as 20-25% less than our colleagues of a different gender. It's figured that about approximately $200 billion could be placed in the economy if we were to have equal pay for equal work. Wisconsin is losing millions of dollars as a result of people being underpaid, women being underpaid primarily because of the bias that still exists. And now, despite our progress, Governor Walker has eliminated state pay equality provisions that that allow women a recourse and redress of grievances. Instead of recognizing that we should create a legal system which provides women and others with opportunity to seek equality in the workplace, we are cutting back on those opportunities and making it more and more and more and more difficult. This is wrong. We need equal pay for equal work, and we need to have the legal tools in order to be able to ensure that that's the case. We don't need to have essential tools being taken out of that toolbox, but instead we need to ensure that our court system has doors that are open to each and every one of us when it comes to these kinds of unfair issues. Whether it is in the boardroom or whether it is on the factory floor, women deserve equal pay for equal work. Indeed, all human beings deserve the equal pay for the colleagues that are standing next to them. And factors where people may discriminate should not enter into that equation. So today, I join everyone in both celebrating women's equality and indeed some gains we have made, but recommitting myself, as I'm sure all of you are recommitting yourselves, to ensure that equality issues will move forward and that we demand that we have opportunity to ensure that every woman in the state of Wisconsin and throughout America can get equal pay for the work she does. Thank you very much.
One more round of applause for Peg Lautenschlager. Before I bring up our next speaker, I just want to note some elected officials that we have seen here in the crowd standing with us. Senator Fred Risser, Representative Therese Brousseau, Representative Chris Taylor, Representative Diane Hesselbein, and I think I saw Representative Sandy Pope. She's next. She receives a special introduction. Our next speaker is Representative LaTanya Johnson. She is the representative from Milwaukee's Assembly District 17. Now, she's a former owner and operator of Anointed Child Care Services, and she is a strong advocate for workers and working families, and has served as an executive board member of AFSCME District Council 48, the president of AFSCME Local 502, and chair of AFSCME's Women Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, LaTanya Johnson.
It is such an honor to be here, but not only to be here, but to address such a wonderful crowd. It takes a lot of courage to come out and to stand up for your rights. And that's not something that everyone can do. But everyone in the crowd today decided to come out and to be counted and to make sure your voice was heard. So I think we owe you a round of applause right now. I moved to Wisconsin when I was 12 years old. I grew up in a small town called LaGrange, Tennessee, where I lived with my grandmother and my extended family. We lived in a three-room shack with no indoor plumbing. And when I say no indoor plumbing, I mean we had outhouses, just like Little House on the Prairie. How many of you guys have ever watched that show? My grandmother worked at a factory called Troxell. And my grandmother was a very hard worker. She always did what she needed to do to make sure her family was taken care of. See, my mother gave birth to me when she was 15 years old. And because of that, my grandmother raised me. I remember laying across my grandmother's lap one day and I noticed that her pinky finger was cut off. Not her pinky, but this finger was cut off. And I asked her what happened. And she said, My machine got jammed and it cut off my finger. She said, but it's all right, it doesn't hurt anymore. And I used to watch my grandmother get up and go to work every single day, and I used to ask myself, why would you go back to some place that hurt you? But it wasn't until I grew up that I realized she didn't go back because she wanted to. She went back because she had to. By the time I turned 12, my grandmother realized that she just couldn't take it anymore. It was too hard. The factory that she worked at wasn't unionized. She continued to be hurt, and she was working for very little money. So after 29 years, my grandparents decided to remarry and bring the family to Wisconsin. My grandfather lived in Milwaukee. He worked at A.O. Smith. And we always thought that he was rich because he had nice clothes and he drove a nice car. So we loaded up the car. We put everything that we could bring in a Cadillac, which only consisted of our garbage bag with our clothes, and we moved to Milwaukee. You're talking about a child that's 12 years old. I left the only home I knew. I left my mom, my brothers, my friends, all my toys, and to me, that was everything I had. But I knew that once we got to Wisconsin, things were gonna be better because my grandparents told me so. I was shocked to find out when we got here that my grandfather wasn't rich. As a matter of fact, we were moving to the ghetto. But that was still okay, because life at that point had already begun to get better. And for a 12-year-old child, that began with running water in the kitchen and a flushing toilet in the bathroom, something we had never had before. Now, as time went on, my grandparents never adopted me. So when I got to Milwaukee, I didn't have health insurance. And that was an issue. I remember my grandfather sitting me down at the table and saying, I told your mother I would take care of you. And I can't do that if I can't get you to a doctor. See, when my grandparents relocated us here, he brought me, my two aunts, my two cousins, later my uncle, his wife, and their two kids. And he worked two jobs. So there wasn't any extra money for health insurance for me. Somebody told my grandmother about a place called Planned Parenthood, that I could at least go and get health checks and have my female reproductive needs taken care of. So my grandmother took me to Planned Parenthood. But before she took me there, we had a conversation. And she told me about how much better things were for women nowadays because we had opportunities. See, when she was coming up, her only choice was to get married. And right after she got married, she had kids. She wanted something better for me, and she wanted to give me the opportunity to fulfill my dreams and to have a life. But most importantly, she wanted to give me a choice. So my grandmother took me to Planned Parenthood at 14, and Planned Parenthood was all I've ever known. To this day, I am still a patient of Planned Parenthood. Because of Planned Parenthood and the education that I got from there, I was the first in my family to graduate from college, to buy a home, to own my own business, and now to be a legislator in the state assembly. My family suffered from teenage pregnancies for four generations. My grandmother didn't raise my mother because she was a teenage mom. Her mother did. My mother didn't raise me because she was a teenage mom. My grandmother did. But now I'm raising my daughter because I had a choice. Parenthood didn't just help me succeed, it helped me break a generational curse. And where I come from, that's huge. Because in my community, there's no route that I can take without seeing hurt. I'm seeing people in my community lose their houses to foreclosure. I'm seeing kids come out of college and can't find a job, so they have no choice but to move back home with their parents. I'm seeing grandparents, instead of retiring at their old age, go back and work at places like Walmart so they can help their kids. And I'm seeing women every day lose more and more of their rights. Every legislature up here, including the ones in there that you don't see, have paid sick leave. We have paid vacations. We make the same amount as our male colleagues because the state mandates that for us. For 10 years, I went without health insurance. I didn't have health insurance until I got this job. But I got here because you elected me. And you elect every single individual that serves at this house. Now, I can't make my colleagues on the other side listen to you. I can't make them show up for this rally. I can't even make them acknowledge the fact that our women deserve more rights and we deserve equal pay. But you can. And you can do this by going back into your communities and talking to all of your neighbors and making sure that when election time comes, they come out to vote. And once you're finished talking to your neighbors, you can get on the bus and you can take your message to the areas where we need your help the most. And that's in those areas that are dominated by our Republican colleagues. You can do this. It's not okay for us to be sitting in our seats as elected officials and not caring about what happens to the everyday ordinary people that we are supposed to serve. That's not okay. It's not okay for us to be content making family supporting wages, but we don't want the same for our neighbors. That's not okay. The people who are standing behind me today, we get it. We get it. And we get it because we've lived it. I know what it's like to be sick and can't afford to go to the doctor because I don't have health insurance. I know what it's like to work for $4.15 an hour because I do childcare, and that's not a respected profession in a lot of areas. I know what it's like to serve low-income mothers that get up and go to work every day, and some of them have two jobs, and they still qualify for food stamps and for medical. I get it. What we need to do today is to make sure that we send a message that for all of those individuals that represent you, that don't get it, their days are numbered. I thank you for your time, but most importantly, I thank you guys for coming out here and for taking a stand. And just make sure that when we leave today, when we leave this congregation that we have today, that we don't leave our fight behind, that we take that with us. And next year,
when the election time rolls around, we make sure that those individuals that didn't get it today won't get their seats next term. Thank you.
One more round of applause for all of our speakers. Well, all right. So what are we going to do about it? I can't hear you. Exactly. We need to get organized. People need to sign up. There's a ton of good organizations who are circulating materials. Get involved. Get involved in your community. Get people organized and registered to vote. We know that the right to vote has never been under assault like it is right now. We need to stand tall. We need to stand with Wisconsin women. Are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
Are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
All right, thank you for coming today. Thanks to all of our speakers. Thanks to all the organizations. And thanks to God for making such a brilliant and bright day today. Yeah.